Hi, everyone. This is a first for Smarter News. I'm recording from inside a former asylum for women in Philadelphia, one of America's most historic cities. And I'm excited to share a little bit of the history of the place where I'm reporting from with you and talk to you a little bit about a story that we've been following this week related to presidential gifting. And yes, this is our Anything But Politics segment, but periodically we're going to use a dash of politics to talk about something else, provide a little bit more context. And that's what I want to do today, because we're still in the midst of this developing story of President Trump's first major international trip of his second term as president. So I'm going to put that aside for just a second. Let me just tell you a little bit about where I am, because this place is such an interesting backstory that I stumbled upon by accident. But I was in a situation where I had to figure out where to stay for just one night in Philadelphia. And a friend recommended this place called the Anna and Belle Hotel in a neighborhood that I had never been, a neighborhood called Fishtown. And as I peeled back a little bit of the story related to this hotel, I just knew I had to share it with you. So where I am sitting right now has been a site that's been used for hundreds of years before even the American Revolution. So let's talk a little bit about Fishtown. Fishtown and where I'm sitting is about a 45-minute walk to the Liberty Bell. So to where all the action took place around the American Revolution. Where I am here is right alongside the Delaware River. This was a bustling fishing area, and this house was known as the Mansion House, but it quickly turned into a place for poor widows and poor single women. And it was known as a place that was providing healthcare and social services for women in this category. It then quickly turned into a retirement home in the neighborhood that was well known and is described as well loved for 150 years before now it's turned hands and become a hotel where anyone can stay. And it's a beautiful place. The hotel talks about working with the Philadelphia Historical Society or Commission to try to maintain different parts of the building. And we'll show you some of that in some images that we have. But just an interesting place where you think about the different layers of stories. Isn't that true of the news and history in general? We get layer upon layer of different stories that become a sum of a greater story. I was a little bit worried, I have to tell you, just you know, can't not. If you hear the word asylum, you wonder, when I walk into this building, do I need to bring sage? Like, how does this feel to be inside this space where a lot of different lives were impacted? It does not have a spooky vibe. It has a very artistic vibe. It feels like a very warm place. So I did feel like this was a place that I was going to do, you know, a paranormal segment for you. I think I was too overwhelmed by the beauty and the simplicity of it. So highly recommend. This is not a sponsored post, but it felt like something that I wanted to share with you, especially if you're thinking about traveling over the next year and a half as we mark 250 years of American history. Philadelphia would be an amazing place to go. And this area, a little bit away from some of the tourist parts of Philadelphia, but a fascinating story and a great restaurant, by the way, side note, on site. So you have a pool, a restaurant. I mean, what more could you want? A great historic story. Here we are. So let me talk to you a little bit. This is where I'm going to use just like speaking of a great place to eat. We're going to take like a little sprinkle, a little dash of politics today. And we're going to use that to talk about anything but politics. It is true in the news that when we get a highly political headline, sometimes we can miss some of the context around that headline or the history around it. And I just want to preface this. I'm recording this a little bit early this week because of travel. I'm doing some projects for Smarter News, and I'm going to be on the road. And the president is overseas in the Middle East, and his trip is ongoing at this time. So we could see some developments. And I just want to add a little bit of that disclaimer. Right now, today, the president is in Qatar. You could hear it as Qatar or Qatar. And this is a very key country in the Middle East. But before the president even got on the plane to head to the Middle East, there was all of these questions about a potential gift that he could be given by Qatar. And that was a $400 million Boeing airplane. And it was a little bit cloudy as to, you know, what would this gift be? Is it a personal gift? Is it a gift to replace Air Force One? Are we going to see, I mean, let's just be honest. We don't even know what we're going to see here. Are we going to see a plane rolled out for the president with a bow on top, as you sometimes see in those Christmas commercials or the commercials for your 16-year-old, you know, the big bow on the hood. Are we going to see? I mean, what are we going to see here? What does this even mean that there could be a gift of a plane? By the way, Boeing is an American company. So how does this all work? Is this an existing plane? Is this a payment for a future plane? What is the headline needed a lot of clarity. And still at this very moment, it doesn't have a lot of clarity. And some of those specifics are going to really matter. But as I'm looking at this story, a couple things came up, including not just a question about Air Force One, because the president was talking a little bit about, well, this plane would be better, newer than our current Air Force One. And this is something you should know. Air Force One right now is dated, and there was an order placed with Boeing for new Air Force One planes. Those planes are set to be delivered in a few years, and the cost of two of those planes is supposed to be over $5 billion. That's with a B, billion dollars. Just to give you an idea of the expense and the time it takes to build a plane that is highly secure for the American president. But this question about Air Force One and maintenance of Air Force One is a question that's come up beyond this administration. So that's one thing that kind of adds something to this story. Again, there was a question here, though, was this gift given to the president personally? But if you give a gift to the president personally, it becomes part of the U.S. government, and gifts are given to the National Archives. So would this gift be part of the National Archives or go to the presidential library? The president says, no, this is not a gift for me. It's for the Defense Department. You can just tell there's all of this. So all of this has likely been washing over you this week, as there's been all sorts of debates about this topic. And again, a lack of specifics to really dig in. Of course, the big questions here are not only about like, what are the specifics of this deal, but whether ethically, legally or ethically, this gift is appropriate. So let me just put that aside for just a second. I want to tackle two separate topics that add a little bit of depth to this story, no matter what direction it goes in. First, I want to talk to you a little bit about Qatar. Right now, the United States has a very important airbase in Qatar. And according to the U.S. government, Qatar has provided $8 billion or so in funding related to this airbase that we use that is absolutely strategic for us in our oversight as Central Command. So this is the part of the world, Middle East, Africa, that is very, very critical and is often in our news. We talk about CENTCOM, the Central Command. So this airbase is important, not just for the United States, but also for Qatar as well. So we have this investment that's already been taking place between our two countries, billions and billions of dollars. Also, Qatar is one of our main business partners when it comes to any sort of arms and weapons and equipment deals that we're doing. So we have a partnership with this country that's not only strategic for our military in their operations, but also as an economic link when it comes to defense. Also, when you see Qatar, you can see how close it is to a place like Iran, where we have no strategic or diplomatic relations with Iran right now. And you can see that why it's important to have a friendly country right near Iran where our planes or our ships can go if we need. Now, the relationship with Qatar, though, is controversial at times. Qatar is the place where the Taliban had an office. Hamas, a terrorist organization, has an office or had an office in Qatar. And this is why negotiations with either Hamas or the Taliban often happen in Qatar as well. So strategically important for the United States, but sometimes there's been questions about, well, what really is this alliance and is it an alliance that we can trust, especially because the Qataris have relationships with groups that we call terrorist organizations. And financially, there's been questions raised about support for different organizations or even adversaries of the United States. So keep that in mind as well. It's a complicated and important relationship for the United States. But I want to talk to you about gifts too, because this is a bigger topic about presidential gifts. Did you know that there was an exhibit done by the National Archives and they estimated that presidents received 15,000 gifts per year, 15,000 gifts per year from private citizens, from governments, all over the place, 15,000. And the National Archives is responsible for organizing this and keeping records or actually keeping the gifts themselves. In fact, there was an exhibit that the National Archives did to show some of the gifts given to presidents. Think about this list of different gifts given to presidents at one time. Elephants, puppies, horses, even lions, were given to the President of the United States. This dates back to President George Washington's, shout out to the Washington Post, by the way, that wrote a great piece on this. I'm going to link it in our show notes so you can read it. Apparently, even President Washington received a gift of a donkey from Spain as a sign of friendship. So gifting to presidents has gone back years and years and years, and questions about these gifts have been raised, and we'll get to that in just a moment. One of the most interesting gifts that the Washington Post mapped out was crocodile attack insurance that was provided to President Obama when he visited Australia. So if he got attacked by a crocodile in Australia, apparently the First Lady would have received $50,000. That's a gift that he didn't expect, but that was given in Australia. So these gifts really span, you know, a variety of different things. And this is not to suggest that a plane should be in that category. But it is interesting to see the sheer amount of different gifts that were given and the different types of them. One of the most visible gifts, and this is something you see all the time, the desk in the Oval Office, the Resolute desk, was a gift from Queen Victoria to the United States of America and has a very fascinating history. Let me go ahead and just read it to you, because it's something, again, we see all the time, but we may not realize, wait a minute, this was actually a gift from Queen Victoria to President Hayes in 1880. The desk was made from timbers of the HMS Resolute, a ship recovered by an American whaler, and then sent to England by Congress as a sign of friendship. In return, Queen Victoria gave Hayes the desk made from the ship's timbers. Nearly every sitting president since then, including President Trump, has used it. So these gifts are around us in ways that maybe we didn't expect. But the question about ethics and integrity and relationships is obviously a question that comes up with all sorts of gifts. And in fact, it was a president that we don't talk about very much. President Martin Van Buren, he actually turned to Congress for clarity on this. So listen to this. This is directly from CNN. Two live lions had been gifted to Van Buren by the Sultan of Morocco at the U.S. consulate in Tangiers in 1839. And the Sultan of Oman tried to give him horses, pearls, and other things of value delivered by ships in 1840. Long story short, writes CNN, Congress told Van Buren, those gifts were not okay. The lions ultimately went to a zoo and the horses were sold, according to the Washington Post. The Van Buren pearls are in the Smithsonian. So you see, presidents in the past have wrestled with this about, well, what is an appropriate gift and what is not? Congress has deemed these gifts not to be appropriate. And so it's just something to keep in the back of your mind that these gifts and gifts exchanged with presidents have happened in the past. They have a variety of different ranges of what they've looked like, from pearls to live lions to even crocodile attack insurance policies. And this has been taking place since the beginning of America. Now, what the public deems appropriate and what Congress deems and the law deems legal is a story that we will tackle if we get some more specifics about a plane or, quite frankly, any other gift given to the Trump administration, as we would with any administration. Anyhow, hope this conversation with you made you a little bit smarter this week. I have enjoyed preparing it for you from inside the asylum here. I thought, how fitting, a place that housed women continues to do so, as they are along different chapters of their story. And I'm excited to share this chapter with you. Thank you for your support of Smarter News. And I look forward to seeing you back next week with the hard headlines. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you soon.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Keeping your IT team sharp isn't optional. It's essential. CBT Nuggets delivers high-quality IT training led by real-world experts who know what teams actually need on systems teams will actually use. Whether it's staying current on cloud, networking, or security, CBT Nuggets makes training simple, effective, and scalable. No fluff, no wasted time, just smarter, faster IT teams. Thousands of companies trust CBT Nuggets, and yours can too. Go to cbtnuggets.com/solutions and start training today.